This issue of Weebie Geeks is brought to you by
USB microphones and headphones provided by CAD Audio. CAD Audio, expression through innovation.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above ground underwater suborbital volcano lair,
this is urgent. We need a response.
We're already putting together the best man. With all due respect, sir. So am I.
I have a plan. It's a plan. It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
It's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what you need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
I have indeed been uploaded, sir. We're online and ready.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. I am, instead of the merc with the mouth, I'm the host without a voice, Mike. And of course, joining me as always is Eric and Kylan. What did Kylan call? What did you say we were? The Intrepid Trio.
We're the Intrepid Trio. Yes.
And we're still sitting here in this shell of a shield base.
That's okay, because you know it's a sublet.
Somebody just said like a Star Trek communicator sound.
So that was me. That was Director Coulson saying, "Don't forget the rinsed you."
oh yes, right. How do we pay rent and we still work for SHIELD?
I thought they were paying us to take this thing off their hands.
See, I'm tired of the commissary giving us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches without peanut butter or jelly or bread.
Meanwhile, back at the above ground underwater suborbital volcano lair.
Yeah.
What he said.
Yeah.
So, this week we're going to talk. I guess first off, we'll say Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
The best clip I could give for that is,
you know, I thought we were having a moment.
I was having 12% of a moment.
An argument could be made for 15.
Yeah.
No, it is what it is. You know, it's.
So that's the best sound clip I could come up with at the moment for Valentine's Day.
Look, we're all fans of the Marvel Universe. We've seen every bit of every bit of celluloid associated with the MCU, and we know that romance doesn't last very long. So you know, okay. Unless you're Tony Stark, and it's even problematic for him.
Well, those romances don't last very long either, so.
That's true.
Actually, I got one more. It's kind of Valentine-ish.
Series E defense bonds. Each one you buy is a bullet in the barrel of your best guy's gun.
So if that's geared at the ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in Cap's shoes, first of all, how does he, why doesn't he know you have them? Second of all, I keep hoping one of these days I'm going to like make a comment while Mike is taking a sip and we're gonna get a spit take out.
You've come so close.
I know, but I haven't gotten there yet. But it, in Cap's case, that's a romance with Peggy that has spanned what, 70 something years?
Something like that.
Yeah. It's like, you know, keep that flame a burning even when you're frozen solid.
Yeah.
And for all you single guys out there,
you have no idea how to talk to a woman, do you?
Fondue.
So yeah, we've got a pretty jam-packed show. We're going to touch on a really awesome story from Toy Fair. We're going to recap The Atomic Job, which was episode 6 of, is it 5?
Five.
Okay, episode 5, thank you, of...
like halfway to the finale.
Yeah, and next week's a two-hour next week's not the finale, though, is it?
No, it's not the finale. It's like 10 episodes.
And I was 8. Last one was 8.
Well, I know that I thought it was ending in March because... Or is it ending because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back in March?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back in March. So maybe we're going 10 episodes this year. I know last year was 8. Was it 8 or 10 episodes as well? I don't remember.
I thought it was 10.
Could be.
Well, the season finale is slated to air on March the 1st.
Okay.
So
and then there'll be
we may be closer to it than we think, yeah.
And then there'll be 2 weeks, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back on the 18th, right?
And I'm expecting a bit of build-up for
Civil War. Yeah.
Okay, now I know how we get to where we're at, because next week is not like a two-hour episode. It is two one-hour episodes played back-to-back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be 6 and 7.
Yeah.
So, okay, so 6 and 7 on the 16th. The 23rd will have 8. And I guess they're only doing 9 episodes this month, or this run.
I could have sworn that I saw it listed as episode 10.
Sounds pretty sure I saw a 10-episode run, too, I thought, but...
So, unless they're doing March 1st, a two-hour, or a double episode, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
But before then, let's get into the thing that's really the big mover and shaker this week, or this weekend. It's the one thing you guys have all been waiting for. I'm just gonna let you take it. I'm gonna give you some mood music as you start it off.
All right.
So
And see, you know, the opening credits are running through my head right now, and that's all I could do not to just lose it, because it was just so... Deadpool will make this song okay for everyone. I'll tell you right now.
That's a tall order.
It will make... Honestly, this... It will. I can't... You'll just have to see the opening credits to understand what I mean.
And of course, we're talking about which movie?
We're talking about Deadpool.
Oh, for a minute there, I thought we were talking about Fantastic Four Part 2.
Oh, no, no, no.
I was about to say, how'd that slip the IS?
Yeah, no, 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 because Fox actually managed to do something right for once. And
I think it was more Ryan Reynolds made sure Fox did something right.
I get the feeling there's a lot of hand slapping going on, you know, between him and Fox for this one. Oh, but I have to say, and I will tell you guys, I'm gonna try to go spoiler free. But wow,
just in case you can't.
Oh, spoiler alert.
And so, because I am human, sometimes.
No.
I know.
Thought you were a life model decoy.
That's on Tuesdays and the second Thursday in the month.
I thought the fish oil had finally worked.
Well, you know, it was, and then he ran off to join a mariachi band. Go figure. I don't know.
The fish did?
My LMD did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But,
name of his mariachi band is... El Cucaracha Chimichangas.
All Deadpool mariachi band. Oh, wow. How, guys, I'm telling you right now, do yourselves a favor. Get a babysitter. Go see this movie. Is it a love story?
Now, yes. Wait. I'm going to emphasize. Get a babysitter. Do not be one of those schmucks who takes your kid... That's underage to the freaking movie.
Don't do it. I will say it in French. Get a babysitter. I'll say it in Swahili. Get a babysitter. I'll say it in Cantonese. Get a babysitter.
Tell you what, I'm gonna say it in Zulu for you. Babysitter.
Exactly. I'm telling you right now, guys. Don't think that just because it's a comic book movie. That it's okay for the kids, because it's not. It's funny as all get out. It's a well-written movie. It is a phenomenal movie. I mean, Betty White herself gave the movie 4 Golden Girls. I'm telling you right now, the movie is fun.
And that's why 3 of them dead.
Exactly. So, you guys, if you want to see it, please do. I mean, the thing freaking broke a record of what?
Over 127 million.
Over 127 million. Rated R movies don't do that. You know, and this, it broke a record for rated R movies, premiere night for a rated R movie, okay? I'm telling you guys, it earned that rating for a reason.
This movie goes to show Ryan. Sorry.
I was about to say the same thing, so go ahead.
This movie goes to prove that Ryan Reynolds can do a story right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Green Lantern ranks right up there with, as much as I love Star Wars, Green Lantern was a bad script. Phantom Menace was a bad script. You can't judge Jake Lloyd for Phantom Menace because. If you're going to do that, then you judge him for Jingle All the Way, which was a bad script. Poor Phil Hartman for that film as well.
Exactly. The movie was Deadpool, and because it's a labor of love for Ryan Reynolds, the man has waited, 10 years for this movie?
He wanted to redeem himself for the way they screwed up the character of Wade in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yes, and I will tell you right now, every end joke that you could imagine for Hugh Jackman, for Fox, for
Green
X-Men
Lantern
Origins, and for Green Lantern, and even to a certain degree for Ryan Reynolds' acting abilities, it's in this movie. I'm telling you right now, guys, it's... And the movie, the story is good. And the thing is, I can't say that if you're not immersed in the story of Deadpool that... Well, I'll put to you like this. I think that even if you're not immersed in the story, you're going to enjoy it. But there's so many little nuggets and so many Easter eggs and so many in-jokes that you're going to spend a good bit of the movie, if you're in on the joke, laughing, where the person that isn't totally in on the joke is going to be looking at you, knowing that they missed something.
Now, let me ask this question.
What?
We know, like, X-Men Apocalypse is based on storyline. Days of Future Past, obviously. Mm-hmm. In many ways, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, now Winter Soldier, First Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
Was this, not knowing a lot of the Deadpool storylines, was this based on a storyline? Or was this pretty much it could have been a one-off comic title on its own?
Okay, now I had to refer to my wife on this because she is the Deadpool expert in the house, okay? And... Okay, now, because to a certain degree it is an origin story, there are elements of the story that come from the comics, but at the same time, I get the feeling that this is almost treated more like a launch pad, so to speak. You get to get a glimpse into Wade Wilson's world before and after becoming Deadpool. You get Deadpool himself, and everybody knows that the X-Men figure in, but so there's a bit there involving the X-Men. You get some of his past from when Wade Wilson was Special Forces. You obviously see his love interest, and in essence, she's sort of like his present life.
In more ways than one.
But, you know, the thing is, like, there are hints at a Weapon X program, but it's different. It's not specifically called Weapon X, although the purpose is the same. And from what I got from my wife, the approach that this organization takes to get what they're looking for is pretty much true to what was happening in the comics as well.
Okay.
So to say that I would say it's definitely inspired by some of the early stories of Deadpool's early stories, but to be able to point to
this story. But the origin is true to the book.
Yeah, the origin is true to the book. It's I got.
What?
Everything is there for a reason. You know, as random a character as Deadpool is, you have to remember that everything is there for a reason. So that's the other thing that I liked about this movie.
I want you to repeat your quote from before the show.
Oh. You mean deliciously twisted?
Yeah.
Yes.
And awesomely wrong.
Deliciously twisted and awesomely wrong. Just be ready. Guys, there's one scene in particular that you're going to be surprised at. And I don't know, it might inspire some ideas in your significant other. And if so, don't blame the movie for it. That's all I have to say. But it was
don't hate the player, hate the pool.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say it. When you the final fight scene, you guys are going to need to pay extra close attention where the final fight scene is taking place, because from my observation, and I verified this with a friend who saw the movie last night as well, and it looks like that the final fight scene takes place on a wrecked helicarrier. There, I said. Yeah, and it was the helicarrier with the propellers. It's not the helicarrier like, you know, with the Stark technology. My guess, if it is a helicarrier, some of us can remember that the 18 years ago, Fox came out with Nick Fury, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We've been trying to forget it, but thank you.
I'm kind of scared to go back and watch that movie again.
As well you should be. I'm scared to watch it the first time.
I would rather watch the 1977 Doctor Strange than watch that again.
I have
the Doctor Strange movie.
Where did you find that?
Yeah. We'll talk later.
Okay.
In the recycle bin.
Because I also have all three Cap movies as well.
Oh, dear.
Including the one with, is it J.D. Salinger? No, not J.D. Salinger.
No. America, Catcher in the Rye.
It's the two plexiglass shield.
Yes, right. Yes.
And then the 90s one.
Because that guy was related to J.D. Salinger. I forget his name. But, oh, my God, I fell asleep on that movie. I remember that. But Deadpool, guys, I'm telling you right now, it's... And actually, you know, Eric and I, you know, we were talking about this. I'm going to bring this up now. Because we were talking about the whole thing about this movie being... I'm not going to call it a superhero movie. And I'm not about to get on my soapbox about the definition of a superhero. And I'm not. The thing is, even Deadpool himself says he's not a superhero.
He's not a hero.
He's not a hero.
You have to act heroic in some form or fashion. And he does not.
No.
He is a superhuman mercenary.
He's an anti-hero. He's not a villain, but he's not a hero. He's the anti-hero.
He's an anti-hero. You know, and I think, although he did have that phase where he was trying to do the whole hero thing, and it didn't work out for him because he likes money. So, but you know, Eric and I, we were talking about this, and the thing is, I enjoy the character of Deadpool. I do.
Yes.
But at the same time, I know that he's not. Nor does he ever claim to be a superhero. Deadpool in his purest form is not meant for children. Now, what the kids get to see Ultimate Spider-Man, that is a very, very, very watered down version.
That is Deadpool on his meds.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like the version of the Punisher that we got in the Spider-Man series from the 90s. That was not Frank Castle.
No.
Not Frank Castle. That was Frank Castle after he got his tax refund. You know, that's who that was.
Yeah. This is just one of those. You can't let your kids see this again. No. I'm sorry.
I mean, even Ryan Reynolds himself has come out and said, don't take your kids to this. It's not a kid's movie.
And I'm sorry. If you're one of those parents who took your kids, that's fine. Yell at me all you want. I don't care. Yell at Eric. We're both parents. My daughter definitely is not old enough to see this film. And it's going to be several years before... Let's just say there's going to be at least a decade passing before she can see it because of the age she's at now. There's no way Mac's not going to see it.
Mac is going to see it eventually.
Just not now.
But he is 13 years old.
Not ready for that.
I have told him, and I have made it very clear to him, I am not taking him to see this movie.
And I mean, we're not downing the movie, okay? We're not.
But being a responsible parent.
Exactly.
There's not enough of that right now with the current generation of parents.
It's not. I mean, people... in fact, here's a perfect example. This is a reason why there are some things that are meant for adults and some things that are not. Let's tell us a little story about the Expendables. Expendables 1, great movie, rated R, wholesale violence. Expendables 2, even better movie, rated R, wholesale violence. Meanwhile, the kids are wanting to see this, and the parents are screaming out, I want to be able to take my kid to see this movie. Can't you make it PG-13?
And go watch The Incredibles.
Yes, because when I, as a fan of The Expendables, and I'm not saying I'm anti-family, because I'm not, but... When I went to see Expendables 3, knowing that the movie companies bent and gave in and made the movie PG-13.
It just lost its flavor.
It lost its flavor. It was a noticeable difference. And Mike, you're a parent, you obviously enjoyed the Expendables series, and you noticed the difference.
Oh, yeah. Now,
you know,
did I, as a parent, take my daughter, who's 6, to see Star Wars The Force Awakens, which is rated PG-13? Yes. But then again, I know the franchise. Mm-hmm. I know what to expect from the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Has she seen any of the Marvel films yet? No, because I don't know how she'll watch it.
Exactly.
Has she watched superhero movies? Oh, yeah, she loves Supergirl. I understand. It's a DC thing. She loves Wonder Woman. It's a DC thing. The old Linda Carter ones. She watches Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon. She kind of watches Avengers with me. She kind of watches Spider-Man. But then again, I kind of watch Spider-Man. But she watched Web Warriors with me. There is a difference. Do I let her watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? No, because it's a little too mature for her.
Mm-hmm.
Will I let her watch Agent Carter right now? No, because it's a little more mature for her. That's your difference right now between the DC shows and the Marvel shows. Marvel shows in the MCU is a little bit more mature. Will I let her watch the movies? I might start off with Cap first Avenger.
Cap, the first Captain America movie is probably a good one to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
If she does okay with that, then I'll let her watch some of the others. Iron Man, I think, is just a hair too mature for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the second one, still a hair mature for her.
And it's not... It's not really just the violence in it, but it's also dealing with more, I don't want to say adult, but more complex
mm-hmm.
elements.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's not like my daughter couldn't handle it. She probably could, but I'm being a good parent, and I know what to let her watch. Thor, right. She might get a kick out of.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of a campy movie.
Right.
Thor's not bad. Thor would not be bad.
No.
But it's Thor 2 almost the same way. But no, I know when to play, you know, but then again, she hasn't asked to see them yet. She knows the characters and she's okay with it. That's right. The important thing right now.
Right.
But speaking of Agent Carter,
mm-hmm.
Why don't we do a quick recap of of this week's episode, which is titled The Atomic Job.
The Atomic Job, yes.
Which Agent is an Carter's- interesting title after talking about Deadpool.
Yeah, it is. But it's very, very appropriate, all things considered. Basically, what we've got is Whitney has is gotten the taste of the zero matter, zero matter, and she's power hungry, and you see that starting to creep up because she's not above taking down somebody when they get in her way. So, but she realizes that she, in order to get more of the matter, she's going to have to recreate the exact events that led to the creation. And Jason, the guy who's hanging around like Obi-Wan the Force Ghost, also realizes that, so... Yeah. As a matter of fact, I mean, it's the zero matter. He's kind of attuned to it, so he can sense it, and he did this little neat, almost looked like a magic trick where there was some zero matter in a jar, and
there was attached. Well, wasn't it from like a skin sample?
Yes, from a skin sample, and it, you know, he's moving his hand around the jar and it's following him. Well, all of a sudden, it just kind of slips through the glass, and you know, it gets sucked up in his hand. And for a minute, he becomes solid again. And you know, when he like comes back to his senses, it's kind of like, I know where her body is. So, yeah. So, of course, now Peggy and Jarvis are saying, okay, well, we've got to go steal her body. Well, they get there just in time to like watch Whitney and her husband come in, and they don't steal the body, but Whitney is able to draw all the zero matter out of the body. And so that pretty much the first words out of her mouth when she goes through is, it's almost like watching, you remember the Highlander, the quickening.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like the, and, oh, I'm okay now. And when she snaps out of it, it's kind of like, oh, I need an atomic bomb. Well, as it turns out, Roxxon has two atomic bombs that are, you know, in cold storage at a warehouse, not conveniently located not far from Los Angeles. So then it becomes pretty much a race for Team Carter to recover basically neutralize the bombs versus Team Whitney trying to get the bombs. And this, you get to meet Agent Rose.
Yes.
She's been through the training. She's pretty much like home security for the front office. And she reminds me of like the character of Molly on Mike and Molly, or Sudie from Gilmore Girls, because she's kind of short, she's kind of stocky, but there's a sweetness about her, and just like, you know, a pleasantness. It's kind of like, it sounds cliche to say, well, this is the type of woman who has a great personality. Well, she does, and it's kind of like the person that you definitely want to hang with, regardless. Not to say that there's anything wrong with short, stocky women.
Right.
I just want to put that out there. So nobody send us hate mail saying, oh, well, you hate women. No, I don't hate women. I love women quite a bit. Thank you. It's just... She's not stunning like Peggy, but you get the sense over the course of the interview, not the interview, but over the course of the episode, that you don't mess with her any more than you'd mess with Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
Because while they're assembling Team Carter, Whitney is out, you know, schmoozing up with a mob boss, you know, basically, I need to borrow some of your goons.
Wow.
Yeah, and the mafia boss in question is a guy by the last name of Silfrady. Now, Marvel heads, you should recognize that name, because this guy is actually the son of Silvio Manfredi, known in the comics as Silvermane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, is it going to come to that? I doubt it, because in the comics, Silvermane has basically turned into a cyborg trying to live forever. But, you know, it would be cool, but I don't think you're going to see it there.
Right.
But anyway, rounding out, let's say you've got Chief Sousa, you've got Peggy, you've got Jarvis. Of course, you've got Jarvis. You've got Rose, and you have basically M, not M, but Q from the Bond movies.
Yeah.
His name's Dr. Samberly. Samberly is... He is more of a stereotype than anything else. He's like the
very much like
a klutzier version of Fitz.
He's almost like what's his name from Get Smart.
There you go.
He's
almost a Get Smart character. He really is. But the guy's got his heart in the right place, and Rose has him wrapped around her finger. Mainly because, well, she turns on the charm and he is snared.
Oh, it's the apple pie too.
Yes, it's the apple pie, and there's like one of the best lines ever from that comic, from that episode, where it's like, all right, let me see if I can find it. Crap! All right, it is him?
Like,
that was your pie? You were the pie? Your pie was in me? I like pie. And I'm just kind of like, oh my God. That's just kind of like the one. It's almost like where Peggy is talking to Steve in the first movie. You don't know how to talk to a woman, do you? No, you don't. But, of course, things go wrong during the heist.
Right.
Not with Rose. Rose is wonderful in this because Rose is one taking out the hired goons. She does not. She doesn't have a gun. None of these guys have guns going into this vault because, if you fire a gun, it could set off the bombs. If you set off the bombs, all of L.A. goes up in a mushroom cloud.
Mushrooms.
So she is like decking the guy just with fists. The guy pulls out this combination brass knuckles and knife, and she just totally wastes him. And then when you see her again, she's got the knife. And she's just like waving it around almost like a presentation pointer. But what the real thing that goes wrong during the plan is that Sousa, who is the got the best hands, the best bomb disposal person on this team, the plan is for him to remove the uranium rods from the bombs. Well, unfortunately, Jarvis is the one that gets locked in the room with the bombs, and Jarvis has to be the one to remove the rods and secure them. So Sousa is having to stand on the other side of the door, watching him through the little window in the door and just walking him through it. And another good line, it's like, it's a piece of cake. It'll be just like taking a souffle out of the oven. And the look that Jarvis gives him is just, there are no words to describe it. It's just that hilarious.
Well, when they come out, that was not like taking a souffle out of the oven.
And that was a man who had just disarmed two nuclear bombs, was scared to death all the way through. So if you can just picture that, that's the only thing he could actually say. Well, Peggy goes off to confront Whitney and tells everybody else, all right, the bombs are out, bombs secured, y'all get to the truck, boom. Well, unfortunately, Whitney kind of zaps Peggy with some of that zero matter. And in the process, Peggy like falls off a rail, or actually falls through a rail, and is hanging by a hand,
yeah,
just above a bed of cinder blocks with rebar sticking up. Why you would have cinder blocks with sticking up rebar in an underground storage facility, I don't know, but it was ever so conveniently placed right underneath her. Sousa goes after Peggy to try to pull her out of the fire and arrives just in time to see her fall and impale herself on a piece of rebar through the hip. Not like through the chest, not like through the gut, but through the hip.
It's because she wanted a little rebar pie.
And
hips don't lie. That's what it is. So, oh. And at some point earlier during the episode, Sousa is proposing or is trying to propose to his girlfriend, Violet, breaks into her house to fix her dinner. But because she's working an extra shift, she's really late getting in and he falls asleep on her couch. And in the process, he has lost the ring. So they're looking for it on, you know, in the couch cushions, and she, of course, she says yes. So now she's officially the fiance. Well, where do they take Peggy? They take her to Violet's house.
Of course.
Of course. Because they're not going to a hospital. You know, this is the classic, you know, I can't go to the hospital. That they'll think to look there, that sort of thing.
Well, too many questions to be asked as well.
Yeah, too many questions as well. So she patches up Peggy, but in the process, she notices that Sousa is having moments with Peggy and confronts him right there pretty much at the end of the episode. It's like, you didn't come here to L.A. to get a fresh start, like you told me. You came because you were running away because you love Peggy. And she just flat out asks him, and he does not answer.
The scene,
yes. So, yeah. Really, if they had just ended the episode about, you know, right when you see the rebar sticking up from her hip, that would have been the perfect ending to the episode.
Yeah.
So, there you have it. You have the love triangle that is really anybody caring about?
No.
I mean... It seems really... I was happy to see Sousa and Violet in the proposal scene. It's like, this is great. You know, she seems like a good character. This is going to work well. But now it's a triangle.
Well, and when they enter... When they're back at the office and he announces his engagement, Peggy blows it off like, oh, congrats. And yay, just another one of the boys type deal. And no emotion about it at all.
Well, of course... The way they shot that, it almost looked forced. Like she was just putting on the air of, oh, well that's nice.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to force the it, are they, aren't they kind of thing.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, we know that Steve Rogers had her heart.
Right.
So is she going to rebound? There is a certain element of the fan base that says, oh, well, let's ship them. Let's ship them. I'm thinking, this ain't freaking FedEx.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's stop using ship as a romantic verb.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take the inspiration for this next part from the MCU Exchange, MCUExchange.com. And they're saying breaking down the biggest moments from the Atomic Job. And their number, the first one on the list is the New Commandos, which is, right. And to me, one, you know, of course, you know, you got Carter, you got Sousa, you got the Doctor, Samberly, you got Jarvis, you got Rose. I love how they kind of just walked out.
Yeah.
And Samberly kind of stumbles and Rose is there to pick him up.
Yeah.
And then they get to a stop and Jarvis just goes, maybe I should go get the car.
It's like, oh, I forgot. I parked around the corner. But that the walkout music was absolutely perfect. And this is something that I was mentioning to Kylan before the show as well. Pistol Packin' Mama by Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a wonderful song, and if you play Fallout 4, you hear it a lot, because it's on one of the local radio stations, one of the songs that they play. And I was when I was watching this, I was watching it this evening before the show, just, you know, to get caught up, and I was only halfway watching that part of it, because I was also eating dinner. I hear that music pop up, and it's kind of like, oh, crap, do I have the PlayStation on? I actually had to look to see. No, I don't have the game going. I'm watching this on Hulu through the PlayStation, so no, but still, it's...
Yeah.
That kind of music is making a comeback. And I think Fallout and shows like Agent Carter are part of what's driving it.
The second one is Marvel Comedy Wins Again. And they're talking about stuff like, you know, the Manfredi character, how he reaches over. Are you looking at her?
Yes.
Are you undressing her with your eyes?
My friend.
Yeah. And then, of course, the whole sequence with Peggy and Hugh Jones.
Oh, dear God. That was so... I was cackling the whole way through that.
Yeah. Number three is the Zero Matter Mystery Continues. What exactly is it? Is it possibly related to the stuff from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
here's another thought. Could this be somehow related to the Spider-Man symbiote?
That's the other one I'm thinking of.
I mean, the black costume from Secret Wars.
Yep.
That turns into Venom.
You know, I have to admit that this season of Agent Carter, it looked more so than from what we were seeing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know if it was the way they were filming it, but I have to admit, I'm with you. I'm sitting there and I'm watching it, and I'm just like, is that supposed to be the symbiote?
I mean, probably not.
But it acts like it.
Yeah, it does.
In a different manner, but it still acts like it. Now, with news that came out earlier this week, there's now a question. Will Agent Carter be back for season 3? And the reason why is, couple reasons. Numbers have been low this season. Numbers kind of drifted near the end of season 1, and there was a push to try and get it renewed for a season 2. And it was only supposed to be a miniseries, initially. But Haley Atwell has just been cast in a new ABC pilot called Conviction. How is she going to be able to do both shows at the same time?
It's possible.
It's possible. It's going to be really tough, though. Because we're talking, if the pilot goes and gets bought, and they put in a full order, we're talking 22 to 24 shows. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. To me, it doesn't... according to Deadline, should Agent Carter be picked up for a third season, they may be able to work it out so Atwell could do both shows without issue. Although, as Deadline notes, a season 3 pickup does not look likely at the moment. And the quote is, Agent Carter, now in its second cycle, is drawing pretty modest ratings and does not look likely for a season 3 pickup. In case of a series order for Conviction, an improbable renewal of the Marvel drama, ABC sources indicate that there is a scenario in which she could possibly do both shows, potentially as limited runs, but Atwell's casting as lead of a new project by the same network and studio indicate that Agent Carter is probably going away, and they want to keep its star on the on its roster of leading ladies.
I'm not going to lie. It does not look good for Agent Carter with those two facts in mind. I don't know.
It could be
a case of they take a year off from Agent Carter and move her to Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she's a good character. These are good stories, and it's a good side of the Marvel Universe that you don't see in the movies.
To me, the only way I could see it potentially happen is you move Agent Carter to a summer series.
I think it could work as a summer series.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing is, and I can understand the powers that be at ABC making this decision, is that if you give the fans of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Carter, you know, they'll still have spies on the brain when it comes time for the new show to come back. But, you know, maybe, especially now, maybe it is past time. Maybe they need to maybe shorten that break. And, like you say, maybe transition Agent Carter to the summer series.
Here we go. Here's a different one. I'm ready to mic drop on this.
Okay.
Let Agent Carter go after the end of this season. Give it a conclusion. You want to put in a new show?
Okay.
MCU related?
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
Let's go. y'all are expecting me to say Howling Commandos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying let's go to Nick Fury and his Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And let's go to when Fury and Stark create S.H.I.E.L.D. Let's touch on that moment from Iron Man 2 where he says, I was there when your dads created S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow.
Let's start there. Then we can start hitting in some of the Steranko stuff.
Oh, dude. Oh.
Who would you get to play a young Nick Fury?
Because
you can't get Samuel L. Jackson to do
the
version of him.
Last name is Vance.
Oh, you don't mean Courtney B. Vance, do you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or get the guy who plays the cop on How to Get Away with Murder.
Okay.
That's the love interest of the main lawyer. Those are my two picks. So I guess moving on, big movie news this week.
Yeah, big movie news. Agent Carter may not be back, but we do know that Guardians of the Galaxy will be back, because we do know that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 started production this past week. Director James Gunn posted a picture to his Instagram account, and I do follow this guy. He is pretty good. Confirming that production is officially kicked off. It shows his director's chair that has the movie logo and the Volume 2 on it. And the only new cast member that is confirmed is...
It's me.
And I know I'm going to mess up her... I'm going to mess up her name. I know. Pom Clementief.
Hey, she could come on the show and fix it for us.
Okay. Yes, she can. She has a standing invitation, just like everybody else whose name we can't pronounce. But she is...
Even those who we can pronounce.
Yeah, there you go. she is tapped to play the role of the character Mantis, so that's going to be interesting. There has been a rumor that Kurt Russell was up for the role of Star-Lord's father, but there has not been any official word on that. It has no word from the studio, no word from the actors' reps, whether or not a deal was made. So right now, unfortunately, that still stands as a rumor. Gunn held a Q&A for fans on his Facebook page, and he answered a few questions regarding Volume 2. He really didn't go into detail a lot. You know, he didn't go plunging into spoiler land, but he did comment on Thanos' involvement in the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
He did confirm that Benicio Del Toro, he won't be around for the sequel.
It's okay.
He can, yeah. He can't. He doesn't confirm about Thanos either.
I thought I saw another story saying no Thanos, no Infinity Gem.
Well, the actual exchange on Facebook was one person saying, "Hopefully, we'll see more of Thanos, Nebula, and the Collector in Volume 2." He replies, "I can give you Nebula. As for the other two, not so much."
Well, you know what? I will say that I sat in on part of that, and I was in that. I just happened to be listening to him during that part, and he said something along the lines of, "The Guardians will have bigger fish to fry than worry about an Infinity Stone."
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
I think that bigger fish to fry is actually small and blue.
He's going after Papa Smurf.
I'll give you 626 guesses.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, how that means family. Family means you do not touch the Walkman.
But you know, all this hearing that they're saying the movie's star production, it's only got me thinking one thing.
Deep inside of me, girl, you just don't realize what you do to me.
I wonder if that song's going to make it back into the next.
I can't get to the chorus just right.
Oh well. Hail Hydra. But, you know, we'll see if that song makes it into the soundtrack for Volume 2 when it hits theaters on May 5th of next year.
There's another song that we pitched last week that needs to be in it. And, of course, my soundboard's not wanting to go.
We're experiencing technical difficulties.
Jarvis, come on. Coulson better not be using up your resources.
There you go.
There you go.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
And you know, I almost want that to be the opening song with Rocket just kind of taking the ship through some asteroid field. And I want there to be a Star Wars reference with that as well.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, of course.
We mentioned something. Toy Fair has been going on all week, and I have not gotten caught up on all the news from Toy Fair. I will try and gather the Marvel stuff for next week. So maybe we do a recap on Marvel at Toy Fair. But Hasbro and Marvel the pictures. Oh my God. They're going to be making detailed but affordable role play accessories. Okay. So if you're a stickler for details, sticker for accuracy, don't assume that you're making your own cosplay props and costumes is cheaper than buying a replica. Because oftentimes, I mean, it could get up thousands of dollars. It's going to make you go like some of these other cosplayers who do this for a living and go to conventions for a living and want you to go to their GoFundMe page or Indiegogo and buy stuff to help them make their costumes that you get nothing out of. But Hasbro and Marvel are teaming up on a line that will make accurate cosplay slightly more affordable. They're coming out with the new Marvel Legends roleplay items. It's not going to hit till fall, so it'll be too late for Comic-Con. But might be around in time for Halloween. They're doing Cap Shield and an Iron Man helmet. They don't specify which helmet it is from which costume or which suit of armor. Both of these items are going to be roughly $100, which when you see the pictures and the detail of this, not bad, honestly, right. Not bad at all. Like for the Iron Man helmet, it will feature a removable faceplate, just like in the movie. Oh. There are some compromises that will help keep it affordable. While the helmet does use 3 AAA batteries to power light up features and sound effects, it isn't animated, so you'll have to use plenty of imagination to pretend. Okay, kids, but when you're at the convention, yeah, who cares? Right. You're gonna have light up
for real.
You're gonna have light up. The shield, the Captain America shield, and this is where we're all questioning. Will also be available for $100. And it will be 24 inches across at it's the exact same size as the shield used in the current crop of Marvel movies. This is where we debate. We were debating, is it 24? Because we're thinking slightly bigger.
Yeah.
Well,
what was the agreed upon thing? About 28 inches? It seems more realistic.
Yeah. 28 could be. I was the one that said BS when I saw the 24 inch. But when I got my yardstick down and actually marked off 24 inches, that's bigger than you think.
Right. But it's got it has overlap on his shoulders though.
Right.
So I'm actually almost thinking 30 inches. That'd be 2.5 feet. That's 2.5 feet.
I can't go that big. I could do 28 inches. It may be closer to 26. But that, seeing 24 inches in person, that it kind of erased some of my doubt on that.
I'm trying to find a picture of Chris Evans wearing this on his back. I see a picture of him holding the shield in front of him, even if it's the blue shade. And that's wider than his shoulder blades.
It is?
It extends past his shoulders. It really does. I mean, I'm thinking 28 or 30 inches is actually probably closer. But who knows? I mean, Hasbro probably did, I would hope, they probably took authentic measurements off. You know, if they're going to claim this as accurate, because I'll tell you, that helmet for Iron Man is pretty darn detailed and almost screen accurate there.
See.
All right, I don't know. Because I'm finding artwork. Okay, here's a kid. Oh, that's the Think Shield. Okay, here's a good question. Think Geek. Their Captain America shield backpack. How wide is that?
Wait, hold on a second.
Because that's going to tell us exactly. You know, if that thing's 24 inches, then there's no way that shield's 24 inches.
Right. Hang on a second.
It's got to be almost 28. So.
Let's see. Think Geek.
And I found a picture of him standing in front of the shield logo with the shield on his back. And that's going from the base of his skull down to almost the length, almost to the bottom of his butt.
Right. Let me see. I'm looking at it now. See if it gives me any measurements. 18 inches diameter, 2.5 inches deep.
Okay. Then, yeah, maybe 24 does work. Because when you see the picture of that, it's almost... Maybe that is 24 inches. Mm. I don't know. We're going to have to wait till this fall to see this in person.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. You know... Oh, wait. Who made... Who was it that made the shield that you could buy that came in a crate? Oh gosh, who made that one?
I don't remember. Well, I know the ones that they were selling at like Party City for Halloween costumes. That's a 26 inch shield,
right?
And that thing was huge, and that looked more right than anything,
right?
So
never know. I mean, it could be.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, I'm pretty stoked about this. And the thing about the shield too, it has a faux metal finish to it, which is going to be absolutely incredible.
Nice.
But they don't recommend throwing it like a giant frisbee, like in the movies. That's one of my favorites.
Or using it to block bullets or anything.
Oh yeah. No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be good for that.
So yeah, let's kind of start bringing the show to a conclusion. Let's hit that Marvel Unlimited pick for this week.
Okay,
and just a quick reminder, book of the month is, Eric, is it Star Wars Heir to the Empire number 1?
Yes. So I had check to think it out. For a second. It's kind of like, crap.
So check it out. A couple more weeks, we're going to do our book club for that. So maybe be part of Sorcerer Radio broadcast as well. Maybe not. It all depends on what's going on with the news. So what do you got for us this week, Kyle?
I have, only because it just seems so appropriate, let's take the Wayback Machine to night. We're going to go back to New Mutants number 98.
Okay.
First appearance of Deadpool. And also the first appearance of Domino.
Wow. The
letterer is Joe Rosen. The writer is Rob Liefeld. Fabian Nicieza. Editor was Tom DeFalco.
Really?
And Bob Harris. Yeah. And the colorist was Steve Buccolato. Introducing for the first time the Merc with the Mouth, the extra lethal Deadpool. Plus, this issue also contains the first appearance of Domino. So... all those years ago, this book was published February 10th, 1991. Yeah.
Just missed it by that much.
So, you know, it makes me wonder if they did that on purpose, but, I remember buying this book, and, you know, it's in my collection somewhere. I've never been one of those people that was fortunate enough to have the first appearance of a character that became so incredibly huge that, you know, his presence has rocked the world. I don't even want to go and see what this issue is worth because... I don't have it hermetically sealed. It's probably boarded and bagged, and that's about as good as it gets.
It's well loved.
Yeah, and it's well loved. So yeah, let's take it back to 1991 and let's check out the first appearance of Deadpool on Marvel Unlimited.
Awesome. Well, that can only mean one last thing for this week, and that would be. Hey, ho, let's go.
Let's go.
This is going to be for February 17th, 1916.
Marvel was in publication.
Oh, they were. You just don't know it. It was very timely back then.
Timely.
So, for February 16th, or 17th, I'm sorry, February 17th, 2016. Got it. I almost took us a year forward. I'm gonna stop while I'm ahead. So, how about this? Eric, why don't you go with your first pick of the week?
My first pick is Star Branded Night Mask number 3, written by Greg Weisman and penciled by Domo Stanton. The possessed Nitro, Graviton, and Blizzard are free again and more powerful than ever. As Starbrand tries to stop them from an unthinkable goal, Nightmask must discover who is pulling their cosmic strings. Plus, Kevin, Adam, and Imani go shopping and get lunch.
Aww. Aww. Now I'm hungry.
Shawarma?
Oh, I gotta find a place to get shawarma around here. I had some great shawarma from a nice Syrian restaurant in Denver when we were there, Christmas of 14. And a shawarma on top of hummus. Oh my lord, heaven. Heaven. Well, I guess I'll go second this week since Kylan had the Marvel Unlimited pick. I'm going with Uncanny Inhumans, number 5. The Quiet Room starts now. Black Bolt's new place is a fascinating curiosity that could very well put all the Marvel Universe in a tight spot. Brandon Peterson joins the flagship Inhumans book. And of course, he's the penciler on this with Charles Soule as the writer.
Anything like Cirque du Soleil?
Probably not.
Okay.
Ah.
So your number two pick, or your number one pick, Kylan.
I was jumping ahead. Though, my number one pick is number two, though. It's Silver Surfer, number two.
I almost went with that book.
Well, you know, I kept looking. I'm like, nobody picked this book? Well, I'll just take it. Writer is Dan Slott. The penciler is Mike Allred.
Who did the cover on this? Because the cover is amazing. It's a nice throwback look.
It is.
It doesn't give me who did the cover on that, but it looks great. It does. Why is Silver Surfer fighting the ever loving blue eyed thing? Who is this Alicia Masters person? And why hasn't Norn told Dawn about her before? Where did that alien armada come from? What can they really do to a planet Earth that is worse than death? And when exactly is clobbering time? Right now, true believer. Right now.
Clobbering time was after the Fantastic Flop was released.
Clobbering time is what it took once it was released.
I would not want to have this movie come out in a universe where there really is a Ben Grimm. Because he would come looking for you. Oh.
All right. So let's move on to our number two picks.
Okay. My number two pick is a number four. It is The Mighty Thor, number four, written by Jason Aaron, who we all know and love. Well, okay, maybe not love. This is Valentine's Day weekend. We like
it. Hi, this is Jason Aaron, writer of Thor and Star Wars, and you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks.
All right, the path of the All-Mother and Asgard is torn apart by civil war, with Thor caught in the middle. Plus, the wedding of Malekith?
Interesting. Oh. Well, my number two pick, also written by Jason Aaron, it is Star Wars number 16. Penciler is Lanil Francis Yu. Rebel jail starts now. The rebels travel to a prison base, having taken an important captive in Vader down. Unfortunately, they're the only ones with their eyes on the prisoners. The Adventures of Leia Skywalker, The Adventures of Luke Skywalker and the Rebel Alliance continue. But technically, I'm not wrong either. So,
that is true.
I read Leia because Leia's on the cover. And this has got... Oh, what's the variant covers? Of course, none mentioned. I am not sure exactly what the action figure variant cover is for this this one. It might be a Tusken Raider. I don't remember. I'm just curious to know how much further are they going with that. I'm not saying. So, Kylan, you're number two pick.
My number two pick is a number four, and the Squadron Supreme, that shining light of a book. with writer is Leonard Kirk and James Robinson. Things get weird. Let me read that again. Things get weird. The squadron descends into the newest, weirdest corner of the Marvel U. But how many of them will make it out? Plus, a beloved Marvel character returns with much pomp and fanfare.
So, okay.
Okay. All right, my third pick, my final pick, is Star-Lord number 4, written by Sam Humphries and penciled by Javier Guerin. A giant leap for mankind. A fall from grace for Peter Quill? Is young Star-Lord pirate enough to betray his species and steal the Asterion 1? Peter came to space to be a pilot, a pirate, avenge his mother's murder by Badoon, and chew gum. Well, he's all out of gum, and he already did those first two things.
Sounds interesting. Now, this one might come as a shock to most people, especially since I've talked about how, with this current franchise, I haven't been too keen on the latest run. My last pick is Avengers Standoff, Welcome to Pleasant Hill.
Okay.
I thought it was interesting. It's more the Pleasant Hill aspect of things. For some reason, I was thinking horror film with it, and it's like, okay, I don't know if this is a mini or not. Is this going to be a five-issue mini, or is this going to be a... I'm assuming it's going to be. But the prelude to the Springs blockbuster Avengers event. Hello there and welcome, new resident. You've made sure the right choice is moving to Pleasant Hill, a friendly small town where burdens are lifted and the sun's always bright. So hide your eyes. Don't let it see you looking its way. Hide if you must, otherwise it will burn right through you. Pleasant Hill is the kind of place where folks look out for one another. Everyone knows who their neighbors are, but who are you, neighbor? This with the, because on the cover, it's this little girl, looks like she's holding a tesseract.
It does look like one, or something like it.
This is what's got my attention, and this is something I might actually pick up. Because out of the books this week, Star Wars is the only one that's really on my pull list. So this is something that is high on my list, actually, of what to possibly grab. And of course, so is Uncanny Inhumans too. So I've been happy with that. Now picking that up when I can. So
cool.
So, Kylan, what's your final pick for this week?
Oh, this is a big surprise. Oh, my final pick is... Man, I'm getting goosebumps as I read this. Power Man.
You are now authorized to access this area.
Oh, please. Oh, Power Man and Iron Fist number one. Power Man and Iron Fist number one. The writer is David Walker. Penciler is Sanford Green. The original Heroes for Hire, back on the clock. We know you've been waiting to see Luke Cage and Danny Rand back together and back to street stomping basics. Power Man and Iron Fist are tracking a mystery with all the ingredients of a classic Hero for Hire tale. Expect old friends, hired goons, crime lords, weird magic, plenty of power, a flurry of fists, and as much bromance as you can handle. It's Power Man and Iron Fist reunited, and writer David Walker and artist Sanford Green are making it feel so good. Oh, I cannot wait for Wednesday.
So that's going to wrap it up for this week. And I think it's about time, because I don't know how much more my voice will take. Since last week, it was quoted that I sounded like I was on my deathbed. No, that was just a frog in my throat.
That's just how hard you're willing to work for our listeners.
Okay. We'll take that.
Is that good?
It is. You're taking one for the team, dude.
I try. It just goes to prove. It just goes to show I don't have a radio voice. I just don't. So, on that note, next week most likely is going to be more Agent Carter talk than anything, since there's two episodes to recap and break down. We'll try and get some other news in there as well. Oh, wow. I guess it's my turn for the pick of the week for Marvel Unlimited next week as well.
Right. Yep.
And then we're going to bring you nine more issues to look forward to. So, any final thoughts?
I might go back to see Deadpool again. I'm going to find out why in the world we get a helicarrier in a Fox movie.
What about you, Eric? Any final thoughts?
No, I'm good, actually.
Well, I guess that only means one thing. Jarvis, if you would, please.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
No, just time to go dark. I've got to say, A week or two ago, I helped pre-record an episode of Diz Dad's podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
And they talked about each one of us on the panel. There were four of us. Had to do our top five kisses.
Mm-hmm.
Or top five. Yeah, I think top five kisses.
Right.
And my number four was Black Widow and Cap from Winter Soldier.
Nice.
Nice.
And then, of course,
his first kiss in 75 years.
Yeah. And then, of course, at the end, you know, they want us to, you know, do a goodbye. And since I wasn't doing Would You Like to Know More from Weeby Geeks, I did Time to Go Dark. So I represented.
Nice. Nice.
Represent the MMG.
There you go.